If you're a maintenance supervisor at a manufacturing facility and your machinery isn't working right, Grainger knows you need to understand what's wrong as soon as possible. So when a conveyor motor falters, Grainger offers diagnostic tools like calibration kits and multimeters to help you identify and fix the problem. With Grainger, you can be confident you have everything you need to keep your facility running smoothly. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting six crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus four biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only $10 every day. Now that's finger-lickin' good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.
Protecting homes and businesses from the whims of nature, you need more than just quality materials. You require Riverland Roofing. Licensed, insured, and certified, Riverland Roofing offers not only the assurance of excellence, but a tailored approach to your unique structural needs and budget. To learn more about what Riverland Roofing can do for you and the community, call them at 662-644-4297 or visit riverlandroofing.com.
You're locked into Talk of Champions, an Ole Miss podcast powered by Riverland Roofing and featuring Ben Garrett and Billy Embody of Rebel Grove.
Hey, everybody. Ben Garrett here, Talk of Champions from the field suite after Ole Miss defeats Georgia State to open the 2025-26 season. What was the final score? 63-7. 63-7 is a video game score. This is Brad Logan, my friend, a contributor at Rebel Grove. I'm Ben Garrett at Spirit Ben. Rebel Grove on three. Sign up today for $1. Full post-game reaction after Ole Miss defeats Georgia State to move to 1-0. The Kentucky payback game in Lexington coming next week. We'll talk about that in a second. But an uneven game a little bit. We're going to hear from Lane Kiffin in a second. He has some good things to say about Austin Simmons, and especially Kewon Lacy, who was really impressive in his debut. The Missouri transfer running back, man, he flashed all day, Brad.
Yeah.
We're going to talk about it here on Talk of Champions. Hear from Lane in just a second. But what were your overall thoughts? For me, it was an uneven game, especially early. The turnovers for Austin weren't good. And it had to do less with, the decisions were bad enough, but not setting protections, free runners, and stuff like that. But he rebounded, right? And he played a really good second half. Trinidad Chambliss did some things. What's your impressions after that?
I saw something different than the board is saying in online social chatter. I thought the offensive line looked pretty good. I mean,
really,
I didn't see the consternation that everybody else saw. I mean, I thought Simmons had a pretty good pocket at times. I mean,
there were times he had a really good pocket.
And I thought Kewon Lacy looked really good. Lane made mention that, you know, he kind of slid that in the press conference. You'll hear it in a moment where he says, you know, we didn't have that last year. And what he's talking about is a really good running back room. I thought the wide receiver room is loaded. We knew that coming in. But Pete Golding said all along, Ben, we heard him say there was not going to be a big step back on the defensive line. Maybe he's telling the truth. I didn't really believe him. Seeing it on the field, the defensive line looked pretty good.
Yeah, it looked good. Here's the thing that I kind of took away from that. It's like Ole Miss last year set records for tackles for loss and sacks with a first-rounder in Walter Nolan, a third-rounder in Princely Monmiel, and a undrafted free agent, Jared Ivey, who's made the 53-man roster with the Seattle Seahawks. Yeah. J.J. Pegues, one of the many former players here tonight, making the roster with the Raiders, I think. Correct me if I'm wrong on that. But I saw him, Channing Ward, Derek Jones. Of course, Terrence Metcalf was honored before kickoff. Legendary career for him at Ole Miss. But that defensive line was historic. This doesn't have to be an historic defensive line. If it's like a top 20-ish defensive line, that's good enough to contend. Yeah. And that's what I saw. I didn't necessarily see the polished players that you're – like Walter Nolan, you knew what you had last year with Walter Nolan. Cam Franklin's still more of a lottery ticket. But, dude, he flashed. Like, you saw it a lot. There are going to be some, you know, some screw-ups, some boneheaded plays. Same thing with Austin Simmons. But you're right. In terms of the talent drop-off, that's what I don't really see. I see raw talent. Maybe it's not polished. Maybe there's going to be some more, you know, a little bit more trip-ups than there was with Walter and them. But as far as pure talent, William Echols, Deshaun Womack looks like $1 million. By the way, heard he got his chain snatched just before pre-game.
Yeah.
Which I want to say, Georgia State, really?
Don't do that.
63-7 is bad enough, and they didn't even play a very good game. You know what I mean? True chain snatching moment is that. But yeah, I'm with you. I think the defensive line, as far as a talent drop off, isn't going to be it. But for me, the real standout performers, the ones that I'm going to remember from this game specifically, Kewan and Harrison Wallace.
There's a position we have not talked about. Mm-hmm. Do you know how many passing yards Georgia State had? 69 on the day.
Nice.
The defensive backfield was good tonight. Yeah. I thought Sage Ryan was good.
Even though he didn't appear in the stats.
No, he made a side-to-side tackle. I mean, they didn't really throw at him a whole lot. I thought he was good. I thought the defensive backfield was good. But T.J. Dottery did what T.J. Dottery does. Yeah. He makes tackles. And, you know, I know it's Georgia State, but I will say this. When Georgia State scored and cut it from 17-7, you start kind of thinking about, okay, long-range plan. Where is this team? Now, obviously, they finished up on the good side, 63-7.
Which is ridiculous.
But that's just Austin Simmons, man. Left hand, he's beautiful throwing
motion.
If he
can just set the dead gum protection.
And I don't think we need to go to any rash judgment about, you know, how this.
But that's why I'm not like all in the offensive line either.
But when I looked at you in 17-7, looking at the season, I'm like, Ben, this could be where this team is headed. And you're like, not with this schedule.
Yeah.
Let's kind of look at a long-range plan here. We saw what happened in the world of college football today. Now, Ole Miss does not play Alabama, but they lost Florida State.
They play Texas, and they lost Ohio State.
That's true. They do play LSU, and LSU came back and beat Clemson. That game was kind of toe-to-toe. But kind of looking at this schedule, Georgia wins big over Marshall today. My overall thoughts on the schedule really do not change. I mean, for Arkansas beat Alabama A&M, Kentucky struggled with Toledo. At the end of the day, Ole Miss needs to be undefeated when they face LSU.
Mm. They do, and like next week is a huge game for a myriad reasons, not the least of which it's the payback game, because that altered everything. The first SEC game for Ole Miss last year, losing 20-17, and I thought like Lane bringing up that's something they didn't have last year. When I asked about Kewan Lacy, he was like, "Yeah, that's something."
He offered that up, right?
And I think that isn't a small thing, because Jackson Dart, and that's the difference with this team. I think you could get to 9-3, the exact same regular season finish as last year's team. It's going to look a different. It's going to go a totally different way to do that. But I'm not so sure with this team and with the makeup of college football right now, as we see it after week one, and we're all just making rash judgments, that isn't exactly what they need. Because the defense is going to be good. I think they're going to be fine. Austin Simmons is going to make his mistakes, but he has something Jackson Dart didn't, right? And Jackson Dart, now he could run better than Austin did. And you had Trinidad Chandler mixing in there, right, with some of the short yardage stuff and design quarterback runs, but he can turn and hand the ball off to a guy who looks like a legitimate all-SEC caliber player. I mean, when Kewan got knocked down or hit in the backfield 2 yards deep and still scored a one-yard touchdown run, that told me all I needed to know. And not there was no knock. I mean, we've all talked about the Ulysses Bentley thing ad nauseum, right, but he couldn't do that, right? Kewan's got a special mix of power and speed. He finished 16 carries, 108, 6.8 yards per carry, 3 touchdowns. That'll cook.
Meanwhile, speaking
of last year's Ole Miss running back room, do you know who led Georgia State in rushing tonight? Rashad Amos.
I've heard that name before.
Nine carries.
This was not his first stop, by the way.
Memphis?
Seven.
Seven?
Unless I'm counting wrong.
Six,
and that
seven.
Could be true.
My daughter's going to be cringed that I did a 6-7 job.
Here's one thing that I thought was interesting. Sam Hutchins, our good friend from the Clarion Ledger, asked Lane maybe a couple of weeks ago, do you foresee Austin Simmons being a running threat? And Lane's words were, that's more of a schematic question. I really don't want to get into it, but, you know, no. Was he lying? Because Austin Simmons looked fantastic running the football.
But it was when it was breaking down because that line sucked. I disagree with you.
Well, remember in the press conference, you'll hear it in a minute. You guys will hear it. When Lane said, we're going to have an RPO style from time to time, which means Austin's going to get that opportunity to run the football. I'm not so sure that he's going to be – I think he's going to be more of a running threat than people think.
I do too, but I do think that Trinidad Chambliss has an obvious role, and they barely showed anything of what his packages could
be.
He
looked good too.
He looked good because, like, he is truly – I mean, reminds me of Jeremiah Masoli. I keep saying it over and over, but Jeremiah Masoli saved Houston Nutt
one more year.
You know, little Randall Mackey. But I really like what –
2012 shout.
Shout out. I really like what Trinidad brings as far as back, but also with some added value as a runner, but stronger certainly than Austin, especially with that design stuff. But, like, again, while Jackson covered up a lot of warts, no running game whatsoever, let's be honest, He didn't have his full complement of wide receivers all year. Trey Harris was down with injury for a while.
That's right.
Jordan Watkins dealt with some stuff. Juice Wells underperformed playing out of position. That's a coaching thing, not a player thing necessarily, because he's doing good with the Giants. But you get what I'm saying? Like, Austin Simmons has it better than Jackson Dart did in terms of a complement of wide receivers. Harrison Wallace is a stud. DeJon Stribling, like, he barely registered for a while there.
He is a monster.
But, like, he looks
absolute
great.
Monster.
Caleb Odom looks, I mean, for his first debut as a tight end, now, he's not doing any blocking because God knows he probably can't do any inline blocking. Trace Bruck was doing that, the New Mexico transfer. But, man, like, he has weapons all around him to make the margin for error a lot greater in terms of he can throw two interceptions that are absolutely terrible interceptions. No excusing it, but overcome because, you know, he can hand the ball off 26 times to Kewon Lacy.
One thing I know you're all screaming through your device right now. If you'll remember last year, Ole Miss really struggled finding a good punt returner.
Oh, yes.
You remember, they even put Jordan Watkins back there with a broken hand.
It's been a running joke at Ole Miss for a while. The Corvick Neat joke's still alive today.
Ole Miss does not have a punt return problem.
No. He's legit. I love his aggressiveness.
Yeah.
Now, too aggressive when he fielded one at the friggin' one-yard line.
He's got to learn from that.
Yeah. Now, he got bailed out with a personal foul.
Yeah.
So, but the aggressive, like, he is making quick decisions, and he is burnt, like, I agree with you. Like, his third return was caught in traffic.
That's one of the first things I noticed.
Yeah.
Who's going to return punts, and is it going to be better than last year?
So it is. It's a good weapon.
So there are some things I think you can pull from the game in and of itself, some smaller things. That's one of them. Number two, special teams. Forgive me. I've not pronounced his name wrong right all day, but the place kicker from Western Kentucky.
Lucas Kinyero.
Yeah, very good, Ben. He looked really good, and he was kicking off. And
nails from 42.
Yeah, Oscar Byrd. God bless Oscar Byrd. Terrific name.
We're in 33 with Byrd, too. I love that.
What
That's
a shout
so
out.
Dope. That's so dope.
But, yeah, special teams was in good shape tonight. All in all, a big win, I think, for Ole Miss. But I think you kind of look at any time a big win like this, you don't really get caught up into all the points. I think it's important to kind of look at some of the smaller things. We've talked about them tonight. And I think all in all, a really positive night for Ole Miss.
What did Lane Kiffin think? Six-year Ole Miss head coach. We go to him now, his press conference. Both Brad and I just walked out of it. Here's what he had to say about Austin Simmons, Kewon Lacy, and so much more. This is Talk of Champions, powered as always by Riverland Roofing.
All right. I thought our guys did a really good job today. I don't take for granted these type of games. You know, maybe sometimes some people do, and fans especially, and understand that team, which is much improved player-wise from what they added in the portal, beat Vanderbilt last year. So, you know, to play 63-7, so what is that, 46-0 run after they scored. So, you know, you play 46-0 football, you're doing a lot of things really well on offense and defense, special teams. So, really pleased by the offensive balance, you know, 695 yards and 295 on the ground. In a game that, you know, only two returning starters on offense and two on defense. Thought our defense did really well outside of one play. But we got a lot of work on, too. You know, we had the two turnovers, and we got to tackle better. So, obviously, we got a huge challenge next week. So, excited to go back to work with these guys. And I think you saw a team that's got a chance to be good. You know, you look around the country, a lot of times these games – you know, be 1-2-score games and stuff. And so I was really pleased with that. Pleased how I thought our team played pretty clean today. So good start. 1-0. You got a microphone right here. Ty looked today, huh? Okay.
Obviously, I haven't had a chance to watch film or anything, but how would you evaluate Austin's first start?
Yeah, he had one really bad play. You know, the second interception, the first one's not his fault. The right guard gets beat. You know, they're in a blowing coverage. We're going to score a 75-yard touchdown, walk in the end zone, and the guy that blows the coverage picks it off. So that's not his fault. The other one is. And you know, we've seen that before with young quarterbacks, kind of almost the same interception we saw Jackson throw at home to his right his first year. So, but I thought he did some really good things. Scrambled the way that we would want, you know, slid and took care of himself, but also showed that he can move around and make some plays with his feet. Thought Trinidad did a really good job coming in, and so
Really glad that both those guys did well. Also had a really one really poor play.
Lane, you talked in fall camp about Kiwon Lacy and how explosive he'd been. Just what do you think about his explosiveness tonight and really carrying the offense and doing some great things for y'all?
Yeah, it was awesome. I mean, I just tell you how it is. We didn't have that, you know, a year ago. And so it's really good to have it back. I was looking forward to that, you know, kind of thinking he was going to play like that because that's how he practices and got a unique skill set of speed and power. So it's great to see that a ball can break and go score and not get caught. Makes it a lot easier not to call more plays afterwards. So that was great to see.
Lane, just kind of initial eye test assessment of how you felt the O-line did, especially in that first half.
Yeah, I thought, you know, you would think with the output, you know, it would have been cleaner. You know, we got beat a couple of times at guard, both sides, and so I thought it was pretty inconsistent. But some good things on Kiwon's longer run and some good finish with some things. I'd say actually better in the run game than the pass game at times.
Caleb transitioned from wide receiver to tight end. This is his first, you know, game doing it. And look, he's been kind of banged up the last couple of weeks. What did you kind of think of his debut in that and become a kind of a favorite target for Austin there, especially as he was trying to get going in the second and third quarter?
Yeah, Caleb was doing great in camp. Had an injury, I think, missed like last week and a half before this week. So we just got him back. And, you know, that was tough to miss those times in a transition to another position playing tight end. But he did some good things in there. And I think he's a really good weapon to have, and so he did good. Daquan we pulled because, you know, he was just playing a lot of plays and didn't feel like we should keep playing him. But Daquan played great prior to that.
Coach Harrison Wallace looks like he's going to be a weapon in the return game. How you see that?
Yeah, he looked great, man. Very aggressive in the punt return game. He's been awesome. He's been great for us and a great transition. I think he loves the offense. You know, 8 targets today. So really good. They played like I would hope. You know, Deuce had the one drop, but the receivers played really good, and include the tight ends in that. They played really well, especially in the passing game. And I was kind of thinking that's what we had. Was really good skill set, really good deep receivers and tight end. They showed up today.
Lane, I think the first 7 play calls were passes to open the season. I was just curious, was that built around Austin having him settle in, or what was kind of the idea there?
You know, I just, some of our stuff is run pass option. A lot of that scripted and just wanted him to start really fast and got really good skill guys out there and thought that was a place of attacking. You know, we approached this game like we would an SEC game, you know, like, hey, this is where we'd attack people. This is how we'd play against the opponent that we were playing. And that's really what it kind of dictated to and where our strengths first, in my opinion, where their weaknesses were.
One of your leader guys, Xavier Harris, got an interception tonight. What was it like to see that moment for him? And as well, just what have you expected out of him in terms of now being one of the veteran guys on the club, and how has he kind of exceeded the expectations you set for him throughout fall camp going to this point?
Yeah, it's kind of crazy for him to be a senior, which I think there's only like 3 guys that have been there the whole time like that. It's the world we live in now today, unfortunately. So he's a force and had a great camp and really – presents a lot of problems to defense, and that was exciting to see him today, and he created a lot of havoc.
Lane, you guys ran some different people in that, I guess, wildcat quarterback or formation. I don't know exactly what it's called. What did you think of that, and is that some of that experimental, or is that something you might do with multiple guys all year?
I mean, we just try to get guys in the best position, and we're very creative, I think, in that. And so, yeah, there's some experiment in there and some different things to look at and present things for other people to have to practice, too.
Coach, what was your first impressions of the new look defensive line?
Really good. I thought they created a lot of problems up front. The quarterback didn't have a lot of time to throw over there, and so I thought it was really good and did a really good job. 2 of 15 on third downs has a lot to do with the D-line rush.
It looked to me like T.J. Daugherty stepped his game up quite a bit from last year. Can you tell a difference?
Yeah, I think he's fully healthy too. You know, these SEC seasons take a toll on linebackers. And so, you know, a lot of them are beat up at the end of the year. And so I think he was fully healthy today, and he was able to run better than he did at the end of last year, you know, within some injuries and stuff. So he's really our leader over there, and he's awesome. Awesome to be around.
Coach, I got to ask, I've been out there and I've seen Landry out there as well. I got to ask how the pickleball run's going and how fast are you getting ready to, you know, talk some smack to some of your kids on the pickleball courts this season?
I don't know. We're kind of in season mode here, so we don't get a lot of time. We actually run over on game day right before the walk, surprisingly, to play. I just try to, like, set up a win, you know, so then I get my mind, like, in the right place that we're going to win. So we get a kind of a bad opponent and go over there and play really quick. But it was a good week. We had one break where Deuce and Trey came over, and they wanted to play me and Sawyer, so they called us out in a meeting. So we went over and beat them 11-0 and then came back. Told them to stick to playing receiver. All right, guys. Have a good one.
Ole Miss fans, football is back, and there's only one place to make picks and win money all season long, Underdog. Playing on Underdog is easy. Simply pick whether your favorite players in any sport will go higher or lower on stats. For Ole Miss, that's touchdowns, receiving yards, interceptions, and more. Think Ole Miss quarterback Austin Simmons will go over or under 2.5 passing touchdowns in his debut against Georgia State? I'm thinking he gets at least 3 in a Rebel rout to start the 2025-26 campaign. Could Ole Miss great and Philadelphia Eagle A.J. Brown go over 0.5 combined rushing and receiving touchdowns in the NFL opener against the Dallas Cowboys? Get your picks right and you can win up to 5,000 times your cash. And you can play with as little as $1. Download the Underdog app today and sign up with my promo code, CHAMPIONS, to score $50 in bonus funds when you play your first $5. That's promo code CHAMPIONS. Millions of fans have already won billions making picks on Underdog. Will you be next? Underdog. Make picks. Win money. Must be 18 years or older to play. 19 plus in Alabama and Nebraska, 19 plus in Colorado for some games, 21 plus in Arizona, Massachusetts, and Virginia. Must be present in a state where Underdog Fantasy operates. Terms apply. See UnderdogFantasy.com for details. Offer not valid in Maryland, Michigan, Ohio, and Pennsylvania. Concerned with your play? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or visit www.ncpgambling.org. In New York, call the 247-HOPE line at 1-877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY 467-369.
When systems go down, when tickets pile up, and your best tech walks out the door, what does all that really cost you? At CBT Nuggets, we help IT teams stay sharp, confident, and certified with online training that's built for the real world. From cybersecurity to cloud, our expert-led courses help your team close skill gaps before they turn into business risks. Invest in your team. Go to cbtnuggets.com/solutions and unlock training that makes your team sharper and your system stronger.
If you're a custodial supervisor at a local high school, you know that cleanliness is key and that the best place to get cleaning supplies is from Grainger. Grainger helps you stay fully stocked on the products you trust, from paper towels and disinfectants to floor scrubbers. Plus, you can rely on Grainger for easy reordering, so you never run out of what you need. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Welcome back into Talk of Champions. I'm Ben Garrett. This is Brad Logan, a contributor at Rebel Grove. I write for Rebel Grove on 3. Sign up today for just $1. Get full comprehensive coverage of Ole Miss's 63-7 win over Georgia State to open the 2025-26 season. Austin Simmons finished 20 of 31, three touchdowns, 341 yards, two interceptions, along with 47, where he absolutely dropped it in the bucket to Harrison Wallace between two defenders. Great throw there. Riverland Roofing for all your roofing needs, 662-644-4297, riverlandroofing.com. To wrap this up, Brad, I used to like always give out helmet stickers and you know, turning point, player of the game, all that kind of stuff. Let's grade it out. All right, give me a grade for this in totality, this team, because I'm giving out game balls at Rebel Grove. Check that out in the morning on Sunday morning. For you, how did Ole Miss grade out considering all aspects of the game?
A. I mean, I think if you beat a team 63-7, it's hard to give anything but an A. Here's the thing, and I want to quickly break this down. The offensive line was a huge question mark for me. They didn't sub one player, did they?
They looked bad to me. And the interior was just a
I guess it's just different eyes on
I think it was
things.
Really the interior I of the thought, offensive line.
Yeah.
Because Patrick Kudus looked like a player, Arkansas transfer, who they absolutely love.
So you're putting a lot of this on the back of the running back room looking really good.
Looking really good. And
which I guess could be a positive in and of itself. So
like the tackles, I think the tackles, Jaden Williams and Diego Pounds are good enough. I really do. I think now Diego had a few issues tonight, but those are solid starting points. And in a college football that I honestly think there are no good teams right now. I truly believe that. Ole Miss is every bit the contender as Texas or the parity in college football has got to the point where, like, I wish Ole Miss played Alabama this year. You know what I mean? Yeah. Which is wild because on this field 20 years ago, I remember watching Eli connect with towards Sanford down the sidelines in 2003 to beat Alabama. Just, 28 to 25. It's a different world now. But, you know, so I think, like, for even warts and all, you don't complain after 63-7. But, like, one obvious wart is, man, there was too much pressure. And I don't know if it's just – you know, Austin, Bryson Sanders, his first year starting center.
He had some moments where he was beaten pretty badly. Now,
Patrick Kudus, the Arkansas transfer, man, it was not a good night for him. It just wasn't, and he looked like a player. I think he's going to be good in time, but he looked like a player who hasn't practiced in over a full, like in full.
Well, he's worn the black jersey.
Yeah.
Right or wrong, he's worn the black jersey.
To get him here because he's had durability issues and he looked like he hasn't. He just looked rusty.
I'm going to go back and watch it tonight. So everybody that just smashed your television said Brad is a moron.
No one
the
said that.
The board is full of people saying the offensive line looked really bad, and my mentions are on that. So I understand I'm going to get smoked for this. And if I go back and watch it, whatever. I'm a big boy. I can take it.
It's
goodness
fine.
Knows. The second thing I wanted to call out is the fans. 66,378. Terrific crowd, great atmosphere.
And they hung around.
Should be applauded. They hung around.
The final 7 minutes were kind of empty, but like, dude, come on.
Lane asked everybody to stay, and they did, and you're to be commended on that. So
pre-game was awesome. Shots of fireworks and stuff. Yeah. Terrence Metcalf looks amazing, by the way.
He does. Great job. My buddy Armiga Spearman. He was at the Letterman Lounge. He also did the voiceover for the video. It's fantastic. So shout out to Amigo. I thought it was a big night in many ways. So
it felt like a big opener. And yes, there was a little moment there with those two interceptions. Everybody was kind of like, "Oh God!"
It got 17-7. You're like, "What's going on?"
But it was never Georgia State never was going to win this game. Was never going to really contend in this game.
There was just a slight moment. He's like 17-7.
That you can nitpick a 63-7 win shows you the difference in what Ole Miss is now. And like legitimate nitpicks, like the interior of the offensive line for me, or even if you want to move past that, you could pick other things that's just like Caden Lee's inactivity, right? Like that's a middle of the field merchant, man, and that's where they're having the most success.
Yeah.
Where was he? There's some things you can pick apart, but at the end of the day, if it's 63-7, I'm like you, I'm not going to give it anything less than A-. You know what I mean? It's 63-7. Right? Yeah, there's some YOLO balls by Austin because he didn't set protection. Just threw the dang thing up.
But
you're going to have peaks and valleys with him, you know?
It is, but it's time to turn. It's time to put the helmet on now because Kentucky's on deck. And everybody knows what happened just right over there. Right there, right in that end zone.
Golly,
fourth down play. And so
Barry and Brown's
the fumble right there. Yeah. And fumbled into the end zone. The tight end fumbled.
It was quite literally right there.
So Ole Miss can go to Lexington and can exercise some demons, and I'm excited to see what the spread's going to be because truly Kentucky is not a good football team. We saw what Toledo did today. They escaped from being beaten by Toledo. I don't know a whole lot about Toledo, but I'm going to guess they're not a terrific football team.
Yeah, I don't know much either. So, I would think that if Kentucky was to be taken seriously. But here's the thing. You lost to a real estate agent last year. So – just play clean ball. I think that's the biggest thing. If Austin doesn't turn the ball over, it's nothing. You know what I mean? But, like, people, That's the part of this team is good enough, I think, everywhere else.
Ole Miss has a really good running game.
Running game, wide receivers. If the defense isn't historic, but it's top 20, it needs its trigger man, Austin Simmons, to protect the football, and it's going to contend in every game it plays. So next week could get hairy. Like this one could have got hairy if Georgia State was worth a crap, but they're not.
Yeah.
It could get a little scary, especially because they had to do a stop on their side of the field. I mean, a great defensive stand, holding them to a field goal, a sack by Xavier Harris. They missed the field goal. It's 7-3 at that point, right? Like there are times when it could have gotten a little hairy, and Kentucky will be more competitive than that. But if he protects the ball, if you get those things kind of figured out as far as slide protections, you'll beat Kentucky. But the thing is, you don't ever count it, take anything for granted for Ole Miss and Kentucky anymore, because I walked through that IPF after Lane's thing. They got all the little placards on the wall from the wins they had in the, over the years, you know, and like missing from last year. They signed them all, the team, you know, signs the little placards, little squares. Yep. Which one's missing from last year? So many beautiful wins. Kentucky and, of course, Florida. But Kentucky is just get your payback next week. And if they play clean, they will. That's kind of where I'm at.
One more quick thing before we go. Austin Simmons, what we learned after the interception, and I think if we go back and watch the film, we'll see he began to check down in the second half.
Is that second interception?
He was going, bam,
Kinwon's wide
bam,
open over
bam, him. Yeah. He was checking to his – I mean, I think the third check to one of Daquan Wright's long passes. We had a bunch of them today. But I thought that check, I'm like, he's going to be okay.
Yeah.
Because I immediately watched him go bam, bam, and then bam.
Because for the first two and a half, or at least two quarters, he was not getting past his second read.
No, he was not.
It was 1-2 and just fixed.
Especially the interception. I don't know. Was it an interception in the end zone?
Yeah, that one was so bad.
It just
– so bad.
Yeah.
Forcing something, had some pressure in his face. Your check down is wide open.
But this is his first game.
Start. Yeah.
First start. I mean, you know, so I'm sure there are a lot of nerves.
It's the same thing with Arch Manning. I don't begrudge Arch Manning. Like, it's just Paul Feinbaum, the national media, crowning these kids. Like, they are in a different developmental phase. We just expect them to be, you know, to hit the ground running immediately. There's going to be some, you know, peaks and valleys with not just Austin, but
there was
Arch
a little bit of a sample size on Austin.
Same thing with Arch.
There was. I guess because I didn't watch, they still hadn't
started games that really were a consequence.
Yeah.
And now they are. And, hey, better to get it out of the way now. You know, to still finish 20-31 with two picks that were really bad picks, he's going to be fine. Clean it up, and you'll be 2-0 this time next year, next week, too, against Kentucky. This is Brad Logan of Rebel Grove. I'm Ben Garrett, at Spirit Ben on Twitter. He's a contributor for us. I'm a staff writer, co-publisher with Billy and Body. Sign up today for just $1. Talk of Champions is always powered by Riverland Roofing, 662-644-4297. The lawnmowers have come out. Riverlandroofing.com. We'll see you after Kentucky.
At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu.